Our scripture reading this evening is Psalm 104. Psalm 104. The text we will consider is verses 13 through 15. And we will read the entire psalm. The entire psalm, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Now begin the words of our text. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted, where the birds make their nests, as for the stork. The fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom Thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That Thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest Thine hand. They are filled with good. Thou hidest Thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created, and Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless Thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Thus far we read God's holy word. Once again, our text we consider tonight is verses 13 through 15. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the psalm which we have read, Psalm 104, is sometimes called the creation psalm, and that for good reason. This beautiful psalm is focused almost exclusively on the natural world, God's creation. And this psalm is a song of praise that extols the greatness and glory of the Creator by surveying, as it were, with wide-eyed wonder, the manifold works of His hands. And the psalm leads us through the whole creation. And very interestingly, it, in a loose way, follows the 6 days of creation that we find in Genesis. As the psalmist sings about the God who is clothed in majesty, who covereth himself with light as with a garment. As praise is brought to the God who stretches out to the heavens, who makes the firmament, the God who divided the seas and raised the dry land, the God who created the plants and causes them to grow, the God who made the animals to dwell in the habitations of the world, the God who made the sun and the moon, the God who put man in this beautiful habitation. The psalmist, in this inspired psalm, calls to us to join him in looking out at the creation so that the eyes of our faith may be lifted up from the creation to behold the God who made all of these things and who moment by moment upholds all of these things and who moment by moment also provides for all of these creatures that He has made with His own hands. Indeed, the believer sees the hand of God in all things. And thus, looking out at the creation, we are prompted to worship and praise and to prayer. God's works praise Him, and God's works lead us to praise Him. And thus we see how this passage of the Word of God is an appropriate and fitting passage for us to consider on the occasion of our prayer day service tonight, because this passage sets before us that central truth that we are to meditate on tonight. God the Creator is God our provider, our great provider. The God who created all things in 6 days is the God who continues to provide for all of our needs. And we see that when we look out into the creation and see how God, as it were, by His hand, brings the food that all of the animals needs, supplies the needs of the plants, causes the creation to continue in its beautiful order and harmony. And if God so cares and provides for those creatures, how much more does He care and provide for us, His blood-bought, redeemed people? This psalm points us to our great provider tonight as we gather together to look to our provider and to pray to our provider and to beseech Him to bless us with all of the things we need for this earthly life in the year that is to come, to pray His blessing on the new growing season upon which we depend for our food. In our modern world, it's so very easy to forget how we earthly creatures depend so much on the fruits of the earth and how powerless we are to get for ourselves the things we need. This psalm points us to the one who provides, the one who we are to depend on completely for all things. And so for a short while tonight, with the guidance of this song, of this psalm, let us look to God, our great provider. We take that as our theme. looking to our great provider. Notice in the first place, his abundant provision. Secondly, our conscious dependence. And thirdly, our prayerful praise. Looking to our great provider, his abundant provision, our conscious dependence, our prayerful praise. Though Psalm 104 speaks in detail about the creation, it is a psalm that is about the Creator. It is a psalm that reveals to us God as the provider and caretaker of the works of His hands. And the first two verses of our text describe then God's abundant provision for the needs of all of His creatures. Verses 13 and 14 of our text. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. God's provision extends, as we see, to the smallest and most insignificant creatures. Verse 14, He causeth the grass to grow. That's God's work. He causeth the grass to grow. Have you ever been amazed by these ordinary yearly miracles that take place around the time of the changing of the seasons? Have you ever been impressed by the miracle that is growing grass? Perhaps not. After all, in our language and in our way of speaking, watching the grass grow is often a saying that we use to express something that's boring and slow moving. And yet nonetheless, the growing of grass is a wonder that the psalmist draws our attention to. It's a wonder that points us to God. This time of the year, there are so many of these ordinary yearly miracles. God's hand can be seen by faith, bringing our dormant world back to life again. As the winter snows melt away with the warmth of the coming spring, and the Lord sends the gentle rains from His chambers to water the hills, He causes the grass to grow. It appears again, now brownish and matted underneath the snow, but soon it will be sprouting up again. Soon the hills and the plains will be clothed with living green. Causes the grass to grow. And as the psalmist goes on, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Though they were sluggish in the winter, the trees are now warmed and watered by the hand of God. The sap gets flowing and the leaves begin budding. Soon the leaves unfold and the birds are nesting in them. And life returns to the countryside and man goes forth unto his work until the evening. Ordinary yearly wonders that God brings to pass as He sends forth His Spirit and renews the face of the earth. The changing of the seasons do not just happen. The rain does not fall haphazardly. The return of life after the cold winter does not just happen on its own. Behind these things are the hand of God providing for His creatures. Easily, we can be blind to these yearly ordinary wonders because these wonders have become so commonplace. But the psalmist looks at these things. He looks at the growing grass. He looks at the budding trees. He looks at the gentle rainfall coming down upon the hills. And by faith, he sees God. And he looks around the creation with wide-eyed wonder, and it draws a song out of him that, inspired by the Spirit, is written now in the pages of Holy Scripture. And the psalmist calls us now, tonight, and all of our days, to look with the same wide-eyed wonder at the world around us and join him in praising the God whose hand is behind it all. What a wonderful thing. Causeth the grass to grow. But as our text goes on to reveal, God causes the grass to grow in order to make an abundant provision for the needs of His creatures. Not only is our God interested in beautifying the world with His creatures and with the greenery of the plants that He has created, though there is truth to that, God delights in His handiwork. It glorifies Him. The beauty of even this fallen creation glorifies God. God brings forth these things for His creatures. Again, we look at verse 14, which emphasizes this. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that He may bring forth food out of the earth. Our great provider has a purpose for causing the growing of the grass and the plants. And His purpose is to feed His creatures. Of course, God has other purposes. God's one ultimate purpose with everything is the glory of His name. And so the growing of the grass serves the glory of His name. The budding of the trees serves the glory of His name. Each raindrop that falls on the hills serves the glory of His name. Psalm 145, a similar song that praises God for creation, speaks to this. Psalm 145, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. There the psalm unites the brute creation with the church, and together, as one, we bring praise to our God. Everything that takes place in creation is, first of all, for God's glory. But the purpose that the text, this text, focuses our attention on is that God brings forth the grass. God brings forth the herbs for food for His creatures. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle. That is, in order to provide food for the cattle and for all living things that inhabit His creation. God cares. He cares for the animals. An astonishing thing. The God who is so great cares for the cattle. The cattle of a thousand hills are His. He cares for them. He feeds them. And not only that, He feeds even the beasts of prey. We read on in Psalm 104 to verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. All living creatures, as it were, eat out of the very hand of God. Verses 27 and 28 now of Psalm 104. These wait all upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That Thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest Thy hand, they are filled with good. Here is God, our provider, whose hand is wide open, who provides good and feeds His creatures. But the great provider who grows the grass, who feeds the cattle, who clothes the fields and the lilies, how much more does He not care for us, His people? Again, verse 14, He causes the herb to grow, the text says. The herb for the service of man, that He may bring forth food out of the earth. Here the text describes how God rules creation and causes all things to grow, particularly the herbs for man's sake. And that word herb here in the text refers to crops. It refers to vegetables. It refers to the edible plants that are used and eaten by men for their food. God causes crops to grow. Simple truth of this psalm, and yet one that is so profound, and yet one that is so important for us to understand, and one that is so necessary for us to hear. God causes the crops to grow. God makes the vegetables in the garden appear. God opens His hand, and out of His hand we receive these things. We, as much as all of the other creatures in this wide creation, eat out of the hand of our Father, our God, our provider. Abundant provision of our God. But there's more. There's more that the text reveals about God's abundant provision. Not only does He feed all creatures by causing the grass and the vegetables to grow, but Psalm 104 also reveals that God, the great provider, often provides us, His people, with abundance above and beyond what our daily needs are. Father's hand is full, and He opens His hand wide, and He bestows upon us abundance of earthly things that far surpass our necessities. And this is verse 15 of the text, the point of verse 15. We read there, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." Verse 15 is continuing the thought of verse 14. Verse 14 describes how God caused the grass and the crops to grow, how that enables man to bring forth the food that he needs from the ground. God provides us with our daily bread, and how important that daily bread is. Bread is the staff of life. Bread is what we need to live in this world. Bread nourishes our bodies and strengthens our hearts. Bread is what gives us the physical strength to go about our lives and work here in this world. But God, in His superabundant goodness, gives us more than bread. More than the mere bread that we need. At times. And in our experience, in our day, and in our society, this has almost become the norm. At times, God opens His hand far, far wider, and He gives us more than just bread. He gives us an abundance of bread. But in addition to an abundance of bread, also this, the text says, wine and oil. Wine and oil. Wine and oil here represent the luxuries, we might say. The things that are above and beyond our daily necessities. The God who causes the grass to grow and the vegetables to grow also causes the grapes and the blueberries and the other fruits to grow that man harvests and turns into wine. God causes the olives to grow, from which man makes his oil. Every good thing that we enjoy in this life comes from God, and He showers His good gifts upon us. Wine, the text speaks of. Wine. We don't need wine. We need only water to live. But God gives wine. Wine which maketh glad the heart of man. And this represents for us celebration, gladness. God fills His people with good so that there are times of feasting, times of joy. He gives us wine, a drink that He has given properties to. Drink that has the power to lift the spirits. Something that is good. Something that, when used in moderation, is a good gift of God and has a proper use in the life of the believer. And many more things could be mentioned here as represented by wine, the many good things that God gives us to enjoy in this life. The good things that bring satisfaction. He showers us with good. Wine and oil. Oil. To understand this, we have to understand the context a little bit. Oil was a very important luxury item for the Old Testament people. Oil was used for lamps. Yes, oil was used for cooking. But especially the text has in view the use of oil as an ointment with which to rub the body. Oil to make his face shine, the text says. The hot, dry climate of the Old Testament people of God in the land of Israel, this oil was used to soften and to soothe the dry skin. And thus, oil here represents those things that make life more comfortable, more pleasurable. These things too, the text says, come to us from God. He gives us bread, but also the wine, also the oil. These two, He at times pours out on us in rich abundance. Why? Why these things? These wine, this oil, which is above what we need. God provides us with these unnecessary things in order to stir up our thankfulness for His undeserved goodness to us. When God gives us prosperity, one of the reasons He does so is to show us His goodness and to stir up thankfulness in us. We don't deserve any good thing from His hand, but God is our great provider, and how good God is. As our Father, He delights to give good things to His children, and it should be our delight to return to Him our most hearty thanks for that good. Now, we of course have to be careful with this idea that we don't run with it in the wrong direction. It's not that we ought to measure God's goodness to us by the quantity or quality of the things He gives. No. Nor is it right to seek, first of all, the wine and the oil, and to not be satisfied unless we have those things. God gives those things according to His sovereign pleasure, to whom He wills, when He wills, in the amount that He wills. But the text sets before us the abundant goodness of God, and when we receive these blessings from Him, when He fills us with these good things, our calling is to receive them with thankfulness. Thankfulness. Even as we do not set our affection on things here below, the wine and the oil or even the bread, but set our affections on things above and seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and therefore seek to use our daily bread, but also the wine and the oil, those extra things that Father gives us, seek to use them in the service of Him, our great provider, and in the service of His people. We do well to think about this tonight. This prayer day service, just how much we have. It's not often that we have to fear about whether there will be daily bread on the table. Sometimes that is the case. But more often for us, there's not only bread, but there's wine and oil in abundance. All of these things, they come from our Heavenly Father. They are His good gifts as He cares for us. Are we thankful? Do we show that thankfulness to Him in how we use those things, not squandering them, not using them immoderately or intemperately for ourselves, but using them for the glory of God and for the good of His people? We must be thankful for the bread, the wine, and the oil that we receive from the hand of our provider. Use them in His service. Be thankful for them. What abundant provision our God gives us. Now, having seen this abundant provision laid out for us in Psalm 104, we must see a very important lesson that comes by implication here in the Psalm. A very important lesson that we must learn, and we must learn it again and again and again throughout our lives. And that lesson is this. We must consciously depend, upon our great provider for all things. We are creatures, and that means we are completely dependent upon the God who makes the grass to grow, the God who makes the vegetables to grow, the God who makes bread possible, the God who gives the wine and the oil. We need often to be reminded of our creaturehood because our sinful natures are always striving for godhood. We want to be independent. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to think that we are in control, that we can get the things that we need, that we have the power, the ability, whatever it may be, to care for ourselves. But the Psalm sets before us the reality that every good thing we have comes from God's fatherly hand, and we are dependent entirely, completely on Him for everything. He alone is the all-sufficient God. And therefore, it's part and parcel of being a creature that we must look to Him. See how this comes out throughout the Psalm. You go through, you scan the verses, the psalm. God is the subject. we, his creatures, are the object. Just looking at the verses in our text, verse 13, he watereth the hills. If he does not water the hills, where will our food come from? Verse 14, he causeth the grass to grow. He causeth the herb to grow. God causes. We do not cause. We cannot cause. There is not a man. No matter what his technology is, no matter what resources of human ingenuity he has at his disposal, there is no man who can make a single blade of grass sprout from the soil unless God, with his own hand, draws that blade of grass from seed through the soil up into the air and outspreads that blade into the light of the sun. Try as hard as we cannot cause the creation to produce anything. We depend on the fruits of the earth, but we cannot make the earth fruitful. We are creatures dependent on the Creator. The Psalm sets this before us. And so tonight, consciously, we are reminded, depend on God. Depend on Him for everything. For everything. And consciously so. Consciously so. It's easy when we have so much to forget the hand that bestows all that we have upon us. Easily, and our human tendency is to do just that, we stop consciously depending on God for all things, for our daily bread. It's always there. It's always at the supermarket. It's easy to get. Not only our bread, our wine and our oil too. The Psalm calls us, trust in God. Look to your provider in times of plenty and in times of scarcity. Look to Him for everything. Trust Him completely. That's what the animals do. That's how the text describes it. Isn't it startling how it describes animals, small and great, who wait upon the Lord? The lions roar and they look for their meat from God. All things look to Him and His hand for their food. How much more ought we, the children of our Heavenly Father, consciously depend on Him and look to Him for all things? There's our important application for this prayer day. That's why we have gathered here tonight. As a body, as a covenant family, to together lift up our needs to our great provider and to ask our Heavenly Father to do what only He can do. We're here to pray, Father, cause the grass to grow. Father, cause the crops to grow. Father, cause the trees to bud and the leaves to unfurl. Father, give us bread and grant us all the things that we need because we recognize we can't get them ourselves. Only Thou canst give them. That's why we are here. That's our prayer. Psalm 104 also teaches us something important about the place that our labor has in connection with our dependence on God for all the things that we need. And this is an important point. The text reveals that the way in which God is pleased to provide us with our daily bread, as well as the other goods that He bestows upon us, the wine and the oil as well, the way in which He is pleased to do this is in the way of our diligent labor. The truth that we are completely dependent on God to provide for us does not mean that we do not have to work or that we do not have to work even hard to obtain our daily bread. Truth that God causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb to grow for man does not mean that we sit idly or that we simply wait for the crops to grow or for the bread to come to our table. And verse 14 shows this. Verse 14, we look back there. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle. And now here, the second part is important. and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Let's notice first that word service. Literally, that should be translated labor or work, even cultivation. The idea is that God causes the crops to grow for the labor of man. God brings these things out of the earth. He causes the crops to grow in order that we may cultivate them. And in that way of cultivating them, that he, that is man, may bring forth food out of the earth. God provides all of these things. They come from God. We do not cause anything to grow. We do not bring these things upon ourselves, but God uses our faithful work as the means by which he bestows upon us our daily bread. It's a calling then to labor. To labor. And to labor in conscious dependence on God. Our labor doesn't cause our needs to be met. It can be easy to think of it that way. We work hard. We take home a paycheck. My work earned those things. My work acquired for me the things I need. No. Everything comes to us from God's hand. But he calls us to labor, to work, to cultivate, to work in our callings, whatever those may be. And in that way, he brings to us the daily bread that he has apportioned to us. Depend on God. Consciously depend on our great provider. And in that conscious dependence on him, labor faithfully in the callings to which God has called you. So, his application here. Two, for our prayer day service. As we gather together and we pray God's blessing upon the new growing season, as we call upon him and ask him to cause the grass to grow and cause the crops to grow, we also call upon him to bless our labor in the year that is before us. Whatever that labor may be, in the factory, driving on the road, whatever it may be, that labor by which we make our living. We call God to bless it. We call on God to give us the strength to carry it out faithfully and cheerfully before his face. We call upon God to give us the strength to labor with our hands and to work that thing which is good so that we might have not only enough for our families, but enough so that we may give something to the poor. Indeed, we pray the last verse of Psalm 90. Where the inspired psalmist says, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." That's our prayer tonight. For Father's provision and for Father's blessing upon our work. And as we make this prayer, as we look with the psalmist upon the creation around us and have the eyes of our faith lifted to our Father Provider, as we do this, praise, praise arises in our hearts, does it not? Praise, prayerful praise, same as the psalmist. Notice how throughout the psalm, the psalmist jumps back and forth from describing beautifully the creation and God's hand at work in that creation and praise of the God who created these things. He jumps back and forth between that description and that praise. He starts the psalm with praise in verse 1. Verse 1 of the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." And then he goes on to describe God's work in creation, providing for the needs of his creatures. And then he summarizes it all up with verse 24. Another verse or outburst of praise, you might say. Verse 24. "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." And then, as if he hasn't said enough yet, he continues on for a few more verses describing God's work in creation and God's provision for his creatures. Then verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. A beautiful interplay. The psalmist looks on the creation, and that creation pulls his eyes up to heaven to see God with the eyes of faith, and praise erupts from his mouth. Looks back at creation, and looks back up to God with praise. Let that be us tonight also, as the psalmist has led us through the creation to see God's care for us and for his whole creation. Praise, praise, praise for God. This is first and foremost. Before we ask anything of him, we praise him for what he has done, for what he provides for us. We praise him as the creator. We praise him as the governor. We praise him as the provider whom we trust and depend on completely. And our praise is prayerful. For even as we praise him, we look up to him. And we look up to him with open hands and with open mouths, expecting all good from him. We understand that our faithful Father will provide us with all that we need. He will make the grass to grow. He will make the crops to grow. He will put the bread that we need on the table. He will give us all things that we need. And he gives us all things accompanied with his blessing. And that above all is why we can lift our eyes and look up to him with expectancy, with open hands and with open mouth. Because we are going to the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to redeem us body and soul, so that all of the things that God bestows upon us in this life come attended with his blessing, so that we now eat and drink unto his glory and not unto our own condemnation. We do all things under the shadow of Christ's cross. And as we stand under the shadow of the cross, we can look up to the God of all creation, expecting from him all good, because he has only good in mind for us, and everything that comes from his hand is good. Therefore, confess again with the words of the Catechism, that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come, not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And whichever one of those he gives us in this year to come, he's fatherly in doing so. He does all things well. So, beloved, let us praise, and let us prayerfully praise the God who provides, the God who makes the grass to grow, the God who brings forth the fruits of the earth in abundance. Let us pray that he bless our labor, and provide for our needs through it. And let us do all of this in dependence upon him, our great provider, good in all of his ways. Amen. Our Lord God, our great provider, thou the King of creation, thou who dost make the grass to grow and the crops to grow, and dost give food to all thy creatures, we thank thee for thy word. Grant that through this word, our eyes may be drawn up to thee, that we may look to thee and expect from thee all good, that we may receive whatever thou dost send us from thy fatherly hand with gratitude and thankfulness, our daily bread, the wine and the oil, so many good things that thou dost give us. And when it is thy will to withhold, grant us the faith to know that thou doest it well, and that thou dost do it for our good, so that whether we have abundance or whether we go without, we may rest assured that we have all that we truly need. And so again we pray that thou wilt bless the year that is before us, this new growing season, crown it with much fruit, Grant that we may have all that we need and have to give to the poor in our midst. We ask all of these things in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, through whom we have sure confidence of thy fatherly goodness to us in all things. We ask this in his name. Amen.